Tell me about the stories that you write. Why do you choose to write plays?
My plays tend to be centered around two different themes and their legacy and identity. I read an article with, it was an interview with Christopher Durang and Marsha Norman, and they were talking about teaching playwriting. What Marsha Norman was saying was that every playwright has his or her stuff. And I think legacy and identity, for whatever reason, that's my stuff, and those are themes that I gravitate to whenever I'm writing. You know, sometimes more than others, but in some form.
And how did you discover that?
Just trying to assess what I write about, just thinking, all right, well, what are the common things? Like, what am I looking at? You know, what am I examining? You know, I have friends who, you know, they're exploring race, or maybe they're exploring an environment, you know, or other concepts. And so I just started thinking, well, what do I do? Like, you know, because my plays are sort of all over the place, you know, as far as subject matter and stuff. But those are themes that crop up time and again.
And why plays? Why not fiction or something different?
I think because I love dialogue. You know, I mentioned that I was a news writer for a few years, and whenever I would write an article, my editor would laugh at me because you know, he would edit something and send it back to me, and I'm like, no, that was more like a semicolon when you said it. It wasn't a comma, you know, or whatever. And he would laugh. He was like, nobody pays that much attention to the punctuation of their quotes, you know, as you. And I think I just like how people speak. You
That's
know?
really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's part of it. And, you know, I mean, there's nothing like live theater. I mean, there's just nothing like it, you know, in terms of the impression it really makes, you know, especially if it's part of your life from a very early stage.
Yeah. What was the first show or performance that really hit you, that made you feel like?
Well, this is such a generational thing that it's almost hilarious, but it's true. It was Annie. And I think the power of seeing that on stage was that, you know, those girls were my own age. You know, and watching them and thinking, yeah, I could do that. I could do that, and wouldn't that be fun? You know, I mean, it's a great story, it's a wonderful musical, but I just think there's something really powerful about kids seeing other kids on stage, you know.
Do you start from story, character, images? Is there something that is the stem of your?
You know, different plays come from different places. I mean, some plays I've written have been the result of writing exercises, like, you know, prompts. You know, like, okay, write a play. It needs to be, you know, a short play or scene. You know, it has to be set in a basement or an attic. It has to feature two characters in a family relationship. It could be sisters, it could be a mother and a daughter, a father and a son, sibling, you know, blah, 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 whatever. You know, and it has to include these five things. You know, I mean, that has been the genesis point for some of my plays. You know, sometimes it's a feeling. You know, there's one play I wrote. I had a short play that was, it was kind of on a, it was doing a lot of festivals. So I was seeing a lot of short plays and one acts. And there was this one play that I loved so much. I loved the end of it, you know, because you really cared about these characters and you couldn't tell what was going to happen next, you know. And I thought about it and thought about it, you know. And it was just so satisfying to think about it for like a week. Well, I wonder what happened to them. What did, you know, did they leave that town? Did they, you know, what did they do? And I thought, I want to write a play like that, you know, where you wish you could know what happens after curtain, you know? And that's where, that was a leaping off place for one of my plays.
Wow.
So it can be all kinds of things. It can be personal experience. I mean, I'm all over the place.
Which writers do you take inspiration from?
Oh, that's hard. So many. I mean, you know, and that ranges from, you know, writers in my playwriting group, you know, whose work I'm very familiar with, and, you know, we're working with each other all the time. But I mean, as far as the big guys, I mean, you know, I love August Wilson. I love Sarah Rule, Teresa Rebeck. Who else? I mean, there's just, you know, Beckett. Of course, Shakespeare. But, you know, I don't know. It's hard to even, it's that's a tough one to even answer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because there's so many interesting and singular writers who are writing plays that it's coming up with a list. I mean, I'm ticking through like all the people I didn't just say, you know, Lanford Wilson, you know what I mean? So Wendy Wasserstein,
yeah,
loved her. Yeah. So, you know, tons of people.
Do you think women writers tell different stories than men writers?
I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't spend a whole lot of time in that space. I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking, okay, we're women. You know, these are the stories that we're telling. You know, those are men. What are the guys saying? You know, I don't spend a lot of time doing that. I tend to just think of myself as a playwright. And I tell the stories I want to tell. And I have admiration and respect for my friends who, I mean, I know people who specifically set out to tell women's stories and write strong female roles. And I think that's great because I think we need that. But, you know, I have a play that's a full-length play, five males, five old guys, you know, and one woman. So it's not a very pro-female, you know, kind of setup, really.
Right.
But I don't know. I can't feel guilty about it because it's just, it's the story that I'm telling, you know?
Are there any writers right now who you think are discussing gender in their work?
That's a tough question. I don't know. Nothing comes to mind instantly. I'm sure I've thought hard enough about stuff I've seen. Gender.
Or those,
In terms of, like, as a subject matter, or as, like, what?
I don't know. Everybody sort of has been answering this question differently. I mean, I think a lot of people get stuck at this question, and then I sort of say, or, you know, strong women characters, like you said before, with your friends who are more, that's what their focus is. I don't know if there's any specific playwright that you feel like that's, they go into it with, I'm going to have a woman on stage that does this, this, and this, and this is what makes her strong in some sort of sense.
Well, two playwrights I know well, you know, who are my friends, you know, just sort of a local example. One of our plays this season is called Reconsidering Hannah. By Deirdre Gerard. I don't know if you've talked to her.
Yeah, I did.
And she sets out to, that's her goal. She wants to write strong and compelling women for the stage, which is great. And Hannah, or I should say both of the Hannahs in her play, are certainly that. And, you know, I'm excited to see that play come to life this season. Ginger Lazarus is another one who, I don't know if you're nodding, so maybe maybe you talked to her.
Kate also referred me to her.
Yeah, she wrote a play that we produced last year called Burning, and that had a very strong central character, who is a woman. So those are two very local and sort of personal examples of that.
Yeah. How would you define a strong woman character? And then, is it important for you to write strong woman characters?
I think it can mean different things to be a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a strong woman is an honest woman. And I don't mean that in the, oh, you know, in the make an honest woman of her kind of way. You know, that's not what I mean. I mean a true portrayal of a character, even if it's a character who may come across on stage as a weaker character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, for some reason this just popped into my mind, but the wife in August Wilson's Fences.
Mm.
You know, you spend a lot of the play thinking, oh, she's just taking it and taking it and taking it. You know, and by the end of the play, you know, when she accepts his child by the other woman, you know, you realize, you know, she's the strong one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't think a strong female character necessarily has to be a feminist.
Yeah.
Character. Yeah, I don't know if that answers that. But.
Oh no, definitely. Have you ever started writing a play and the gender of a main character changed during your writing process?
No, I don't think so, actually. No.
So when you go into a new play, you sort of have the characters define, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, that gender dynamic is really important to what's driving the play. And it's going to be a different play if it's two sisters,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a sister and a brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I usually know. I would say I usually know. I can't think of any instances where I've made a switch. Now, sometimes someone has made the switch for me. I've actually had companies who have made, like,
really?
A female character or male. Oh, yeah, and you find out about it later.
So how can they do that?
Well, they really can't.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like after the fact. Like, some of these small, you know, play festivals,
mm-hmm.
you know, of short plays, sometimes you find out after the fact that, oh, okay, they turned that sister into a brother, you know, or that girlfriend
wow.
into a boyfriend, you know.
Wow, that's really
yeah.
interesting. I mean, do you typically, I mean, when you write, you know, character breakdowns, what do you include there? I mean, I'm sure you include their name, their age, but, I mean, is there anything else that you try? Do you include race? Do you include other things?
I do not include race.
Okay.
I like writing plays that, that have that flexibility.
Mm.
And I have one 10-minute play that's been performed at a lot of festivals throughout the country, and I've gotten to see several, you know, iterations of it, and I've seen it with all flavors and colors of people, and
mm-hmm.
it's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, I love that it's for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun.
Yeah. Are you ever part of the casting decision when you're working on a play?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times with those kinds of festivals, they take place at a distance. So,
right.
I'm not necessarily involved in the casting process, but I'll be involved, like, in, you know, with a rehearsal. Like, I've been on the phone for read-throughs or, you know, or questions and stuff with the director and
mm-hmm.
Cast over
yeah.
email. Whatever, you know.
Yeah. If or when during the writing process do you start thinking about the audience? Do you feel that you write for a certain audience?
I don't know if I write for a certain audience. I think you have to think about them. And I think the most important thing when you're thinking about them is to make sure that your intentions are clear,
mm-hmm.
and that the timing of events or, you know, exchanges of dialogue is clear and
mm-hmm.
clean. And yeah, I definitely think about them. I think I start really thinking about them when, you know, sometimes when I'm in front of the computer, I'm just going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just typing, and let's just see what comes together. I don't know what this is,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of thing. And then by the time I take it into my playwriting group, I've read it out loud a little bit, you know, but I don't have really any idea what it's going to be like for an audience until it's in front of that first audience.
Right.
You know, and then I really start thinking, okay, I don't think they understood that joke at all. You know, they didn't make the connection between those things.
Right.
So, yeah. But I think the audience definitely has to be part of what you're thinking about when you're writing.
Yeah. I mean, have you learned things from your audiences before? I guess, not even when your first read-through, but when you're, you know, within a production, and I don't know, do you keep making edits throughout that time, or...?
Usually what I do is the first production of a play is kind of like the guinea pig
mm-hmm.
production. And I'll actually rewrite and add notes to the script
mm-hmm.
after that production is complete that will sort of, I don't want to say recreate that production because how can you, but... I make sure I fill in any blanks, you know,
mm-hmm.
things I learned. And sometimes it's not the first production that happens. You know, sometimes it's the third or fourth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, you can't go to everything because stuff is all over. But, you know, like if my work is done in Boston or New York, I do try to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once you feel like you've had that definitive production,
mm-hmm.
I jump back into the file and really try to make sure that I'm capturing that on page.
Yeah. And what kind of theater do you think is the easiest to get produced? Do you ever feel pressured to create plays that fit in with this mold?
Well, a lot of my plays are shorter plays. And I think the big thing, you know, I don't know how much you know about like 10-minute plays and one acts, all that stuff. There are a lot of short play festivals that go on around the country,
right.
And they want comedies. I mean, you know, they'll throw in, you know, sort of something that's serio comic, or they'll throw in a drama sometimes. But honestly, if you look at a bill of 8 to 10 plays,
yeah,
probably 6 or 7 of them are going to be comedies.
Why do you think that though? Like, why I feel like I've heard that before, that most short plays are comedies,
mm-hmm.
and that I don't know. But, I mean, there are a ton of full-length dramas out there. What makes it that short plays have to be comedies, or tend to be comedies?
I think that with shorter scripts, I think comedies are easier to recognize. Like, if I'm a reader for a producing company, I think they're easier to recognize on the page sometimes. I think writing a shorter drama, and really any drama, is actually, it's harder.
Mm.
And I think that it's particularly hard to write a very good 10-minute drama. Because
yeah.
you can veer off into melodrama and cheese and just not, you know what I mean? Just not
yeah.
very good stuff going on. It you can take a turn to the soap opera like fast.
Yeah, and I guess it must be hard to come up with a resolution that fast too.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard. You know, it's
yeah.
hard. You know, I mean, it's hard to write short comedies too. I mean, because, you know, the risk with these short plays is that you're writing skits, and you don't want to write a skit. But
that's true. There are so many categories. There's skits, sketches. You know, plays must be hard sometimes to distinguish what
sure.
something is.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even even if it's yours. It's like, I think this is a play. I hope it is.
Yeah. What do you think about, I mean, 10-minute plays, I don't know, they seem relatively new. I don't know how old that is, that form is. And then I remember at the Boston Player Theater, I saw 1-minute plays. And that was so fascinating because it's a tiny, tiny little sliver of a moment, you know? And there were some that worked so well, I think, because they just, they drew you in and then that was it. Like, I remember I saw one that was, they were looking on the, I think, you know, like Google Maps, they have the dot that they were like, I can't find the dot. And I was like, that, I know exactly what you're talking about. You didn't have to say anything else, but right. You said, I can't find the dot.
Right.
And I was in the
right.
moment.
Right.
But, I mean, do you like the emergence of new forms, or I don't know how you feel about that?
I love it. I mean, there's something for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, I love 10-minute plays. I mean, I mean, this is the home of the Boston Theater Marathon. You know, I think it's exciting and fun, and it's a different challenge. And you meet wonderful people. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what's so great about those festivals that I was talking about. You know, you meet people from all over.
Yeah.
You know, if you go. Who are doing all kinds of things. And usually they're writing short plays and long plays, and they're regular people and
mm-hmm.
fun. And, you know, it's neat.
Are you, you teach as well during the year, right?
I do. Well, the main thing I do is every summer, I teach the playwriting component, in the, summer writing intensive for Walnut Hills School for the Arts.
Oh, wow.
In Natick.
So, I don't know, how old are those students?
They are anywhere from 13 to 17.
And how do you, you know, when you're starting to teach them playwriting, what do you go through with them that, you know, for a new playwright?
Well, I think the most important thing you can do, honestly, is read. Read a lot of plays. So, one thing, I mean, and I'm lucky because the groups I've had the past few years, they love reading plays, and you know, a lot of them have maybe, they've read plays at school, but mm-hmm. they've read, you know, Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, these
yeah.
big full-length plays, which, that's great.
Yeah.
But they're not reading 10-minute plays.
Yeah.
So I bring in a 10-minute play every single day, and we'll read them and talk about them. And I try to choose plays that relate to them in a certain way. Like, maybe it was a play written by a younger person.
Mm-hmm.
Or a play that features teenagers,
mm-hmm.
or that deals with subject matter, you know, that would concern them.
Right.
You know, first love and sexuality and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, to me, I mean, that's the main thing, is just making sure that they see a lot of really good examples of 10-minute plays in all their forms. We read
yeah.
funny plays, we read plays that are freaky, we read, you know, serious plays, we cry, we laugh. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Are there characters or plays that you still haven't found a place for? Are there outside forces that have prevented you from writing these characters or plays?
I don't know. I mean, I would have to say no, I guess, because I don't really write for particular venues
mm-hmm.
or with a particular theater in mind, necessarily. So I'd have to say no.
No.
I think the things that prevent me from writing plays are time and, you know, energy.
Yeah.
You know, and having ideas that are not fully formed yet.
Mm.
You know, like, there are a couple of plays that I know I'll write, but they're just out there, because
yeah.
I, you know, maybe, like, I have a play that it's four characters, and I know it's in a motel, but I don't really know who they are yet, so I think about it sometimes.
Yeah, how long does it take for you to kind of develop a new idea?
It depends. You know, sometimes it happens very quickly.
Mm.
You know, sometimes a character will just start talking, and you feel like you're transcribing.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes it's like this play, which I got the idea last summer. And, I mean, it's not like you know, I'm not sitting around all day and all night thinking, well, this play, but I'm not really sure what it's about yet and what it is, you know, but I don't know, that's kind of the cool thing about playwriting too, is it takes a while to get things cooking, and, you know, playwrights don't really mature until later in the game, so, or at least that's what I tell myself.
Yeah, because I feel like I always read interviews with playwrights saying, oh, it took me years to write this, and it's so fascinating because I feel like even for myself, if I look at writing that I did the year before, I'm so self-critical about things, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I can do better now, but the idea of working on a project so long-term, you know, that, that just seems so, I don't know.
All my friends pick stuff up and put it down and pick it up again. You know, I have a friend who was recommissioned to work on a play that she'd started years and years before that she'd kind of forgotten about.
Wow.
But then somebody who had been a literary manager somewhere, you know, that she had been connected to, moved on to another theater and said, oh, you know, this is a perfect play for them. And she's like, oh, all right, well, then I'll start working on it again. You know, I mean, so I think everybody has a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, it depends on what they're feeling, you know, at a given time, or what people are interested in, or, you know, or whatever.
So this is a question that I've I ask, and I know it's hard to sort of say, but what would gender parity in the theater look like to you?
I think more productions by women and not really a need to think about that over much. You know, like, I mean, I'm very aware. I mean, listen, I'm in the middle. Like, you walked in, and I'm building the season brochure for this theater, for our upcoming season. And, I mean, I'm very aware when I get those things in the mail. I mean, I'm flipping through going, well, how many men? How many women? How many men? How many women? When I'm on the roster of a, you know, of a festival, and there are 10 of us, like, how many are men? How many are women?
Yeah.
I'm just curious, you know? In your email, you were saying, you know, to think about when I'm aware of my gender. And I have to say, that is the only time as a writer when I'm aware of my gender, when I'm really thinking about it.
Really?
It's when I get the season brochure for Theater X, or when I'm sitting in the audience at a festival, you know, that my play is in, and I'm looking at it going, wow, out of 12 plays, they could only find 2 women?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to think about.
It's really hard, especially when, you know, they say, oh, well, we chose the plays that were the best. And, you know, people keep saying, well, how do you define what is the best? How do you define what is good playwriting? I don't know what thoughts you have on that, but it's just, it's really, like, it kind of stops the conversation because they're not even willing to, I don't know, explore it more.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way to do that, I guess, is blind submissions. But I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's a tough question.
Yeah. I have one more question for you. What's one piece of advice that you'd give to a young or less experienced woman playwright?
Oh. I would say to write from your heart. You know, I would say, write what you're passionate about. You know, that's what I tell my students at Walnut Hill when I'm teaching is, you know, we talk about how, you know, it's this axiom that gets thrown around, you know, the write what you know. Well, it doesn't mean write your life story necessarily, but, you know, write about that feeling that you know, you know, and we talk about universality through specificity. You know, and how if I sit down to write a play, that's the experience of the American teenager, and every teenager is going to love it, and they're going to, you know, this is going to be their play, because I'm going to include this, and this, and this. Yeah, I mean, that's just, those are huge, crazy goals.
Yeah.
You know, but if I write a very personal story, you know, about, you know, something I'm passionate about,
yeah,
other people are going to automatically relate. You know,
yeah.
It's like, we talked, this summer when I taught them, we talked about that book, The Fault in Our Stars,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were just like, oh, I love that book. And I was like, yeah, and I love that book too. And I loved that book because I was a teenager too. And,
right.
And no, I didn't have, you know, a horrible illness, you know, and I hope that none of you have either, but it's, we love that book because it touches on the common things that teenagers are dealing with and
right.
feeling, you know, and lays it bare, you know, that's why we love it.
Yeah.
You know, so I just say, you know, write your passion.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you, anything I didn't touch on?
I think you did a great job. I think you covered the bases.
Okay.
Thank you.